we start our new series, you know, the wonderful new series, we talk about Christmas. And I'm very excited because it's 9 days till Christmas. And then it's 10 days till I can have my favourite hot cross buns. We start our series today, The Hidden Wonder of Christmas. And today we're looking at the wonder of hope. Ooh, bit of a malfunction, sorry. Because as we come into a time of Christmas and celebrations, we assume that we should be full of hope, shouldn't we? That we're all full of hope, that as Christians we should be able to be full of hope. That should be an easy thing for us to do. But we've got the stress of the end of the year, our workplace, our friends, our colleagues, financial stresses, our family, work issues. And it all robs us of our hope for the future, doesn't it? And I would like to say to you this morning that I am a positive person. I'm not really an optimist, but I'm hoping one day I will be. Oh, and that's funny. Did you get it? I'm not really an optimist. I know it's early, but hope, what is hope? I love hope, and I've got a story of hope this morning for you. There was this young man, and he didn't have a girlfriend. He desperately wanted a girlfriend. And every Saturday night out of hope, he went to this local restaurant to eat and have a meal, and hopefully he would be able to meet someone there. And one night he was there, and there was this beautiful lady sitting at the table next to them. Not as beautiful as Julianne, but a beautiful lady. And he was looking and he was staring at her, and the lady sneezed. And as she sneezed, her eye popped out. And this gentleman grabbed it like that. And he went and gave it back to her. And the lady said, "Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for you being so discreet. I really appreciate it. Can I buy you dinner to say thank you?" And of course, the young man said, "Absolutely, you can buy me dinner." And she said, "It looks like you're alone. Do you mind if I join you for dinner?" And the young man said, "Absolutely." So they had dinner together and they had a great time, great conversation. They found out they had so much in common and he really enjoyed her company. And at the end, he said, "I'm a little bit worried. You're such a lovely lady. I'm worried that you'd like this with all the boys or all the men that you meet." And the young lady said, "No, you just caught my eye." Hope. You might find this hard to believe, but that joke really appealed to me. Hope. What is hope? We always live in hope. And today I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you a journey through all parts of the Bible, and we can jump around a little bit, but it all comes together at the end, not really dissimilar to any other time that I'm up here. And I want to start this morning in Isaiah. Darren started it out in Isaiah, and we're going to start in Isaiah today. And Isaiah is this book. And Isaiah, well, I guess you could kind of describe it as a book about doom, sin, hope, and then forgiveness. And we're going to pick up in this passage at a time when they're looking for hope, that it's very dark and they're looking for hope. And I want to point out to you as we read this passage, it's about 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus. And it's an amazing prophecy of what Jesus is coming, that the hope that we would have in Jesus. And this first part of the passage from Isaiah is the doom. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not people inquire of God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instructions and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and their God, and they will look towards the earth, and they will see distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. And then we've got the hope down into chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the lands of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah is talking about the hope that Jesus will bring when he comes. And we read in this passage that it was dark at the time. It was darkness across the land. It was a difficult time. And people were clutching at straws for any sort of hope that they could get, some hope for their future. And they started to consult with mediums and magicians instead of God. And the passage ended this way. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. It's an interesting passage because we ask the question, what on earth is going on for this to be written like this? But they think, the people that Isaiah is talking to, they think they can overcome the darkness by themselves. And before we judge on that, it's not too dissimilar to what we are like today, that we think that we could overcome the darkness by ourselves. And if you ask me, what's the most common factor that I see as a pastor, what is the thing that in my pastoral counseling I see the most of, is that people think they can do it by themselves. That people think I can get through this darkness by myself. And for hope, people start to look at the markets. They look to technology. They look to all their fake friends on social media. They look to their job. They look to their child's achievements. They look to sport. They look to cars, houses, possessions, and they think that they can do it by themselves. And we share the same assumptions that these people mentioned in Isaiah, that we think that we can get through the darkness, foolishly I might add, by ourselves. We think we can counter the darkness with our own intellect, with our own innovations. And if you find yourself this morning in a dark place and you can't get out of it, and you've lost all hope for the future, can I suggest to you today that there is hope? When we come into this Christmas time, full of excitement, full of colour, full of lights, full of fake lights that we put on our houses, fake lights that we put on our Christmas tree, that on the 26th of December, we turn off, that we turn off the fake lights in our lives. And if you're a person considering this thing called Christianity, or you've been a Christian for a week, or you've been a Christian for your whole life, we are all guilty of thinking in the darkness in our life we can do it by ourselves, that we can do it on our own. And I think at all stages in our life, we all think that we can manufacture the light to expel the darkness. We think that we can manufacture the light to expel the darkness. And we read in the Old Testament this prophecy of Jesus and the hope that he would bring, the light that he would bring to the world 700 years prior to his birth. And I want to fast forward now. I did say we were going to jump around. I now want to fast forward to the New Testament, some 700 years later. And we look and we hear about these stories of Jesus. And we read about the stories of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, with Matthew, Mark, and Luke being the synoptic gospels because they tell a similar story from different perspectives. And in each of these books, the writer introduces us to Jesus in a slightly different way. And it's interesting in itself how the writer does that. And the introduction from the writer might depend on what views he's trying to guess or what audience he's writing to. For instance, Matthew's writing to a predominantly Jewish audience. So he wants to prove to people, he wants to let them know that this person that we read about in Isaiah is in actual fact Jesus. And because he's dealing with a Jewish audience, he starts off with the genealogy of Jesus. He wants the people to know that this Jesus is the one who was prophesied about. And Matthew starts his book with the genealogy of Jesus. And he goes all the way, go back to Abraham. He goes to the birth of the Jesus in the effort to convince his readers, his Jewish audience, that Jesus is the Messiah that was prophesied about. But Mark's a little bit different because Mark wants to prove to you who Jesus is by his powerful acts and what he does with his miracles. And his agenda is to tell us about Jesus and all his miracles. In chapter 1 of Mark, there's no talk of the birth of Jesus. In actual fact, chapter 1 has these headings. Jesus drives out an evil spirit. Jesus heals many. Leprosy. Jesus heals the paralytic. But none of the birth of Jesus. And Luke's a little bit different again because Luke, we get into more details. And Luke was a physician or a doctor at the time. And the first thing that Luke tells us is that he has investigated these matters thoroughly. And Luke was writing to, unlike Matthew, he's writing to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles, well, they're not terribly interested in the lineage of Jesus. They're really more looking at what the antiquity is or how old something is because they give credence to those things that have been around a long time. In other words, the older something is, the more valued it is. And I'd just like to interrupt there for a moment to let you know that this morning we have an amazing group of older generation in our church. And I want you, each and every one of you, to know that I value you, that we value you, that I value your prayers. I know that you do. So Luke starts with the account of birth. So Luke starts his account with the birth of John the Baptist. And then we come to John. And John is a completely different agenda again. John's different again. He's not writing to an audience. John has this idea that he wants to get across. He wants to get across. He wants the readers of his gospel to understand, not to miss, that Jesus is God incarnate, that he is the divine, that this man Jesus is the great I am. And John starts out not trying to establish the identity of Jesus by talking about his miracles, the angels, Joseph, Abraham, or David. Because what John does is really interesting. John starts out his book with three simple words. John starts his book with three words. In the beginning. John starts out with those three beautiful words, in the beginning. Now, I know some of you are Bible students. I know that all of us at some stage have decided we're going to read the Bible from front to back. And we go to chapter 1, verse 1, page 1, and we read in Genesis, it says, in the beginning. And a lot of you will be sitting there going, yeah, that's right, Paul. I agree with you, Paul, but where are you going with all of this? Well, I want to continue into John 1, 1 to 5. I love this verse. It starts out with the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That the light shines in the darkness, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to simply remind you this morning that darkness does not win. I just want to simply remind you this morning that darkness does not win. That there is hope. John wants you this morning to understand. John wants you to comprehend. John wants you to accept this morning that Jesus was not just an afterthought. That Jesus was not just a quick fix. That Jesus was not a solution to a problem. John wants us to know that Jesus was always the plan. That John is tying Jesus right back to the beginning. That John is tying Jesus right back to creation, where the very first act was to dispel the darkness. And we read in Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the dark. God's very first act was to dispel the dark. That the darkness was not God's plan. That the darkness was not God's will. God handled, right in the beginning, the darkness with his light. God declared, the darkness for my creation is not my will. The darkness for your life is not my will. Right from the beginning, before you, before me, before any of us, God dealt with the darkness. Can I suggest to you this morning that like creation, that your first experience with God was or will be him dealing with the darkness in your life? You're not sure what I mean? That in your life, that he expelled the darkness with the light of grace. That in your life, he's expelled the light of bitterness, the darkness of bitterness with the light of forgiveness. That in your life, he expels the darkness of sadness with the light of joy. That in your life, he expels the darkness of selfishness with the light of compassion. That in your life, He expels the darkness of disappointment with the light of hope. He expels the darkness of disappointment with the light of hope. Can I tell you that God has a proven way to deal with the darkness in your life? And I hope this Christmas that gives you hope. I hope you're starting to see what John was trying to get across. I hope you're starting to see the hope and the light that we have in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And John does something very interesting in these five verses, because in the first four verses, John speaks in the past tense. In the first four verses, John speaks in the past tense. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The first four verses, John is speaking in the past tense. But he does something really interesting into the fifth verse. Because in the fifth verse, John goes from the past tense to the present tense. And he says in the fifth verse, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. John moves from the past tense to the present tense. Do you know that today you can move out of the darkness of your past and into the light of your present? Today you can move out of the darkness of your past and into the light of your present. Full disclosure this morning, a lot of people sell us, don't they, that when I become a Christian, that Christianity is a quick fix to all my problems. And unfortunately, this is not true. That if I become a Christian and I accept Christ, that all my problems will go away, that all my darkness will go away, that I will be able to live in light. And this week I watched an interview between Bono and Eugene Peterson. And Eugene Peterson was a person who translated the Message Bible from the Hebrew. And Eugene talks about how he translated the Psalms from Hebrew to the best that he possibly could into English. And he talks about how it was messy. It was really messy. And Eugene Peterson goes on to say that we should, as Christians, should learn how to cuss without cussing. We should learn how to cuss without cussing. And he talks about how the Psalms is David crying out. And Bono goes on to say that the thing that he mistrusts most about Christians is their inability to admit and help people in the darkness. This inability to understand as Christians that we are not going to have everything perfect, that we're not going to have darkness in our life. And I know that most of you in this room will agree that stuff happens. Relationships break down. Bills mount up. Jobs that were secure disappear. Friends betray you. Families are crazy. And John acknowledges this by speaking in the past tense, in the present tense. When John says in the present tense, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is telling us that the light is still fighting the dark, that the darkness still exists, that the darkness is still here. And John acknowledges that the light has won, that the light has defeated the darkness, but he also acknowledges the darkness has not gone away. And he presents us with some bad news and some good news. And the bad news is that even though God dealt with the darkness, that the darkness is never defeated, that the darkness is never destroyed. He acknowledges that the darkness has not gone away. But somehow darkness, somehow evil, always finds a way back in. Evil has that way that it's never defeated, that it's defeated, but it's never destroyed. But the darkness and evil is defeated, but it's never destroyed. Even though it's banished, darkness is never far away. A friend yesterday, a best friend yesterday, an enemy today. Finances were great yesterday, but they're a mess today. Cancer was in remission yesterday, but it's back today. A marriage yesterday, but a divorce today. A happy child playing in the sun yesterday. A young man that won't even speak to you today. The darkness is always just around the corner. Darkness, evil, over the years has had a way of finding its way back into society. But even though darkness is defeated, it's never destroyed. It's always found a way back in, from slavery to racism, to drugs, to addictions, to war crimes, to ethnic cleansing, to greed. Darkness always finds a way. And we cannot make the mistake to think that because Christ is in your life, that it will stop all the darkness. We will face some dark nights. We will face some dark months. We will face some dark seasons in our lives. But the Bible says in the Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Darkness always has a way of coming back. That's the bad news. The good news. The good news, the hope that we have is that darkness can come back, but it can never win. The light of Christ will always shine, and the darkness cannot handle it. When I was preparing for this morning, and I read that verse, the line, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I looked up this word, overcome, in the original Greek version. And the Greek word for overcome is katalabano. And it's a word that as you open your Christmas presents this Christmas morning should give you hope. Because katalabano in the Greek means to take hold of with a decisive initiative, with eager and self-interest, to grasp something in a forceful manner, a firm manner, to apprehend, to make it one own, to make it one's own. But the darkness couldn't comprehend the light. The darkness could not overcome it. And what Christ has done through us, the darkness cannot understand. It cannot seize. It cannot take hold of. And when we receive Christ in our life, we do some strange things. When we have Christ in our life, we can do some strange things because when we have Christ in us, we are happy when we should be sad. That when we have Christ in us, we can dance when we mourn. When we have Christ in us, we can laugh when we should cry. When we have the light of Christ in us, we love the unlovable. When we have the light of Christ in us, we care for our older generation. When we have the light of Christ in us, we care for those who are less fortunate. When we have the light of Christ in us, we forgive when we really shouldn't have to, when we really don't have to. When we have the light of Christ, we happily give of our time. We happily give of our money. We have the light of Christ in us. We are happy to serve and not to be served. The light of Christ, the darkness could not understand. And the light of Christ gives us a peace that transcends all understanding. The light of Christ gives us unspeakable joy. The light of Christ gives us the ability to see the invisible. The light of Christ allows us to believe in the impossible. The light of Christ allows us to trust in God when there's no reason to trust. My mum used to say, "This joy I have, the world did not give it to me, and the world cannot. This joy I have, the world did not give it to me, and the world cannot. And the darkness can't understand." You have something in Jesus that the darkness can't overcome. You have something in Jesus that the darkness cannot steal. You have something in Jesus that the darkness cannot defeat. You have something in Jesus that the darkness cannot deny you of. Darkness cannot overcome. The darkness cannot overcome Christ. And believe me when I tell you that darkness comes in all different forms. Darkness comes back. It's been defeated, but it's never been destroyed. And it comes back in the forms of hatred, violence, lying, corruption, greed, jealousy, that the darkness will always lose because the light from the beginning has always won. I'm not saying there is no darkness. Darkness always finds a way back. But I am telling you the light always wins. And that is the hope that you have in Christ this Christmas. The hope that we have in Christ this Christmas is that the darkness cannot win. And Paul says in Romans, the one who loves us gives us overwhelming victory in all these difficulties. The one who loves us gives us an overwhelming victory in all these difficulties. It's the hope in Christ we have that the light always wins. That no matter what happens in your life, the darkness can never overcome the light. And as we come into a time this morning where we're going to partake of communion together, it reminds me of that my son and I, we really like watching movies. I really enjoy a movie. It relaxes me. And we have this thing at home called Fetch TV, and it allows us to look at the latest videos and the latest movies. And we can rent a movie or we can buy a movie. And you can rent a movie on Fetch TV. I think it's for $5.99. I think it's very similar on Apple TV. But when you rent it, you only have it for a week. And once you start to watch it, it disappears after you've finished or you've got 48 hours to watch it. And after it disappears, you can never get it back. And if you want to get it back, you'll have to pay for it again. On the other hand, you can buy the movie for $19.90 and it goes in your library and you can watch that whenever you want, with whomever you want, whenever you want. It's there forever. Can I say to you this morning that the hope we have in the darkness is the light that Jesus has given us is that we don't have rented love. We don't have rented peace. We don't have rented power. We don't have rented forgiveness. We don't have rented joy. Hear me on this one. We don't have rented access to the Father. That He's been purchased for you. That Jesus on a cross purchased it for you. And you can have access to it whenever you need it, whenever you want it, and the darkness cannot take it away. The darkness cannot deny. The darkness cannot steal it from you. Like the helpers could come forward, please. The helpers, in a moment, as they come around to you, the helpers are going to give you a little candle with a Bible verse on the bottom. And the verse on the bottom is the one we've been talking about. We said, in that verse, that the light, the darkness could not understand. When you're at home and you find yourself in a tough position, I want you to take that candle in a dark room and light that candle and read the verse and know that the light of Christ cannot be defeated, that the darkness cannot overcome, that the darkness cannot understand. Can you hand those candles out, please? That the darkness cannot understand the light, that the light in Christ is there for you and it hasn't been rented, it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and it's there for you to access any time you want. This morning, if you're in a dark place, and you want and you need some access to some purchased love, some purchased peace, some purchased power, some purchased forgiveness, some purchased power. If this morning you need access to the Father, this morning you need a miracle, this morning you need a breakthrough, I want you to hold that candle as we pray in a moment. And I'm going to pray for you this morning. And please hear me on this. The darkness cannot overcome or defeat the light. But the light has won. The darkness has been defeated. It's not disappeared, and you'll go through some tough times, and we know that. But to understand that the hope we have this Christmas is the light has won and can never be defeated.